Thank you, Brother Tommy, for leading us in our singing today. Those of you that helped us in our service, we're grateful for you as well. Isn't it great to be a Christian? Come on now. Isn't it great to be a Christian? Now unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. And unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. And all together again we said, Amen. That's the scripture, what it says, Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. Well, this next week will mark the 18th year that I've participated in Focus Northeast. Now, in the beginning, it was Rosemary's word. She stayed at the house because she had other duties to take care of. But soon after that, she was able to join me and go with me on the Focus Northeast. I know we have some new faces, and I want to take just a moment. I'm not going to take a lot of time, but Focus Northeast is a ministry that isn't what you would call the front-running evangelistic ministry. The ministry, although evangelism is what we talk about, the main thing is that we're encouraging small congregations to be able to continue to exist as the churches of Christ. And there are places that don't have the resources to bring somebody else in and preach a gospel meeting and pump the brethren up. They invite other folks to come, of course, from the community and hear us, but they also get the congregations that are in the remaining areas, some of them as far away as 150 miles just one way. In fact, some of their members travel that much round trip to go to church on the Lord's Day. It's a completely different kind of thing. And I just want to tell you that anytime I have the opportunity to preach the Word of God, it's a great blessing to me. In fact, you know, just being your preacher here at South Main is a great honor to stand before you and try to present a lesson. And we're going to do that this morning. We ask you to pray for us as we go to Maine this coming week and spend a little time there. Encouraging the brethren there. We always tell them that you love them, and they feel a camaraderie with us because of that, and I think that's a great byproduct of the church. And if you don't want anybody to know anything about your business, don't go visit somewhere, right? And go to another congregation of the church, because they're bound to know somebody knows you. Am I right about that? Come on, loosen up, folk. Let me know. Some of you look like your relatives moved in with you and you're staying. Get a big grin on your face for a little bit. We're really talking about love and truth. We're going to read a passage in 2 John, first three verses of that chapter. That's all the chapter that's in 2 John, just one chapter. But we're going to talk about love and truth and how we can learn to live a balanced life. The writer says to the elder of the chosen lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all who know the truth, for the sake of the truth, which abides in us and will be with us forever. Tells us something about truth, doesn't it? The idea of how strong an ally that is, and that it remains forever. Grace and mercy and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and in love. When my kids were growing up, it was always a joy to watch them learn new things. I think one of the more exciting things, probably the most exciting, is when they learn how to talk. And, you know, we have two of those that we sort of regretted we taught them to talk because they would never shut up. You know what I mean? Some of you have any of those at your house? You know, once they start, I mean, they just go on and on. But we love them anyway. Naturally, they took after me. I'll take the blame for that. So they do a lot of talking. But the other one is when they're learned to walk. Isn't that a great thing? And there they are, usually around in the living room somewhere, and the first thing they pulled up on the Jim up on the coffee table or the end table, or maybe it was a foot rest that you had somewhere, and they're walking around like that. They're just waiting. You know they're getting ready to spurt off and walk on their own. But learning to walk is not all about strength. They prove that when they're holding on to things. The really important things about walking is balance. Being able to balance. I guess that's why as we get older folks, that equilibrium is not what it used to be. And so balance winds up being our enemy toward the end as well. You have to be careful sometimes about being able to stay upright. And I think about that a lot, about in respect to living the Christian life, is that living a balanced life between what was said, that's such a great verse that we learn where love and truth is what's supposed to happen, but we have sometimes a lot of difficulty balancing those things out. Love and truth, what that really means or how it's supposed to be administered. And Scripture speaks to us in regard to the importance of having balance, finding that balance. We know that both of those things are necessary. They're essential. You've got to have truth and you've got to have love. But the challenge really comes when we try to balance the two of them together. Now, the writer of the book of Proverbs, he tells us in chapter 16 and at verse 11, a just balance and scales belong to the Lord. All the weights of the bag are His concern. That has a spiritual meaning, doesn't it? You know that it does. You can tell the way it's going on there, that God knows how to balance things out when it comes to our spirituality. And that's why I'm glad God will be taking care of all the judgment things that go on, aren't you? Yeah, right. Amen. Because we want Him, we know He's going to make a fair assessment. And yet we know that what He's saying is a basic truth, even about life. Later on in the book of Ecclesiastes, we have the king writing these words. Do not be excessively righteous. Do not be overly wise. Now, would you think that being too wise would be a problem? Well, it shouldn't be. It's not supposed to be. And yet he says, why would you ruin yourself? Don't be excessively wicked and don't be a fool. I don't think he was saying go ahead and be wicked. I think he says don't be excessively wicked, period, and do not be a fool. Why should you die before your time? That's usually what happens to folks who are not wise. It is good that you grasp one thing and also not let go of the other. For the one who fears God comes forth with both of them, because they're of a necessity. If you lived any time at all in life, you already know that life is all about going through the things that life brings you and finding a balance so that you're able to live with it. Some of it is easy to do because it's good, and some of it's not so easy because it's not so good when troubles come our way. Why is it that it is such a challenge? Why is that so difficult, finding the balance between truth and love? I think if you've been in the church very long, you understand that there have been two sides to every issue. And very often, that's what we're faced with, is making a balance between the concept or the idea about truth and love, a balance. There's a psalm that I read often because it helps me to try to balance things in my life. It's Psalm 73. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I want to just bring it up to you. I'm going to read it from the Old King's English, the Old King James. But just listen to what's being said here. A Psalm of Asaph. And he's saying something that just resonates with me almost every day of my life. He says, truly God is good to Israel, verse 1, even to such as are a clean heart. Psalm 51 and 10, we know about that. But as for me, now listen, he's talking about him. As for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. Now, Joe, when I was growing up, roller skating was a really big thing. I don't know if it's that big anymore. I don't see a lot of roller rinks around. How many of you roller skated at the roller rink and went down there on the weekend? And everybody was there. I mean, it was quite a deal, wasn't it? You remember that guy that ran out there and was going to show everybody what was up? And man, as soon as he got going as fast as he could go, and pretty soon he went by you and one leg was up in the air and he was leaning like, what's fixing to happen? Don, you remember? Yeah, I think so. You knew this was not going to be good, right, Jim? You knew there's going to be something happening here that just wasn't going to be good because he was going to hit the floor. He's talking about that very thing. Now, Mason, don't tell everything you know, buddy. Just keep some of that in, buddy. I'm sorry, Don. I shouldn't have pointed you out on that one. I love it. But the writer here is talking about himself being off balance. And he says, I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. When he looked at other people and he saw that their life was not, well, what he would judge as a good life, a wicked life, and he looked at his own, he just didn't understand why it could possibly be that things weren't going the way he wanted them to and in his own life. And that ought to tell us something really, really smart. You don't want to look what everybody else is doing. It hasn't got really anything to do with you. Your life is supposed to be taken care of by you. But it's not our habit. We would much rather look at someone else and straighten them out than we would to look at ourselves and to keep ourselves in a good balance. So he's envious when the wicked people seem to prosper. And he goes on through this explanation down through here, saying that they are corrupt, they speak wickedly, they don't talk right, they don't do anything right, and yet things just keep going well for them. And he gets down here to verse 16, and he says, when I thought to know all of that, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Well, his problem was he was looking at somebody else and not himself, right? He says, it was too painful for me until, look what it says, I went into the sanctuary of God. And then understood I their end. You remember when Jesus met up with a rich man and a beggar by the name of Lazarus? You see, this was still going on New Testament times. People were looking at what other people had, and they were assuming, in fact, the Jews even relished in the fact that if a person had a lot of things, God must be really happy with them. But Jesus told a story about the rich man and Lazarus, and he said, which the people had a hard time swallowing this, a rich man who fared sumptuously every day, wearing all of the fine clothes and eating great, and Lazarus, who sat down at the gate by his place, oh, how he would have just loved to have a morsel to eat that fell from the rich man's table. But the rich man died and Lazarus died. Everybody in my angel's class, guess who carried Lazarus to the bosom of Abraham? Angels, yeah. Now, whether you're aware of it or not, this place is filled. You think this building's empty, but it isn't. It's full of angels. They're all right here. God's element to help take care of us. Lazarus went to the bosom of Abraham, and we all know that that was a representation of going off to the good place. And the rich man, well, he went to another place. And he said, please send Lazarus on down here to me to dip his finger into the water so that I may have something to drink on my tongue. And he was told that can't happen. There's a great gulf fixed between us. He can't go there and you can't come here. I'm just telling you that you see, we all tend to want to think that because people have earthly things, that somehow or another everything is cool with God, that everything is right with God for them. And I don't have what some other person has, and I'm trying to serve the Lord. I'm trying to get you back in balance today. I'm sorry I chased this rabbit, but it's there. I'm not sorry. I think it illustrates the point. We're all a little like that. That is, I don't have what you have. Well, you know, you've heard the old saying, you might want to be careful about what you wish for. Huh? Because most of the time, we don't really know what's going on in other people's lives. We just merely see the outward appearance. And believe it or not, we're probably the masters at making things appear and mask over what feelings really are rather than what the truth actually is. My grandpa had a saying. Yours probably had it too. He got it from somebody else. I'm not giving him the credit for it, but he said if your outgo exceeds your income, your upkeep is your downfall. As a kid, I hadn't one clue about what that meant. Then I got married. And then we had kids. And it wasn't long before I was having to figure out how all of that worked. I needed balance in my life. Thank God he sent me Rosemary. She knew how to balance a checkbook, and she knew how to take away my credit card. Thank you, honey. Balance. Anybody have a little problem with the balance? Huh? What's your credit card doing today? Is it saying, you owe me a big payment? How's that balance coming along? Life is about balancing. Sometimes our problem is that we lean toward love and we have little emphasis upon what the law is, or I'm going to say maybe what the truth of what the scripture might say. And they had that kind of problem over in the book of Revelation, Pergamum, Thyatira. They had those difficulties of being what we might call, or what they would be guilty of, showing love, but not grasping the importance of them learning to love the law and to do what was right according to God's will. And they had all of these difficulties with all of these foreign gods, from Baal and Barak and Nicolaitans, who came along and taught them all kinds of things. And the idea, see, said, well, you just come as you are, because there'll be no judgment here. Now, folks, don't misunderstand me. We welcome everybody to come here. But when you get to the idea of judgment, remember, that is God's place and not ours. God is the one who's going to make the judgments. But I don't want you to come here thinking that because I've accepted you, that necessarily that's what God has done. You need to balance that with what Scripture teaches, because that's the way God is going to judge the world. That's the way things are going to go. We have to understand that. And some of us go to the other side and we lean toward the idea of law. Shape up or ship out, buddy. That's our approach if we're over there. And we seem very strict. And we want to say, I'm contending for the faith. And I hope that you are. But I want to remind you again that Jesus tells us, that the Scripture tells us, that there is a balance between love and law, love and truth. And let's not be too quick about what mercy is supposed to be like. Every one of you has a past that you would not like for me to talk about, especially up here, right? Am I right about that? Can I get a shake of the head? We all have a past, isn't that right? There are all things in our lives, there are things in our life that all of us have done that we don't want anybody, we don't want to share some of this, because we're not too proud of that. I'm not trying to browbeat you. I'm just trying to get you to remember who saves you. Who saves you from that circumstance or that condition, if you will, so that you can know that you're a saved individual. Finding balance, because there are good things and there are bad things with each of these in terms of the extreme. It's good for us to have a great love, a deep love. Go to the next slide. Have mercy on some who are doubting. Save others, snatching them out of the fire. And on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. Do you hear what this is saying to us? That not everybody who comes in those doors is in the same place. That's what it's saying. Some of us have bad pasts. Some of us have maybe not so bad pasts. But we all have a past. And we all need to recognize that. And to know that we don't want to be caught off in judgment on other people, because that is not our job. There's good and there's bad with each of those extremes. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8 says, "Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sin." I love the rendition or the translation in the NIV, because it says that we are to have a deep love one for another. That's the kind of love that God has for us. If you know this song, sing it with me. Go ahead and put that up. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns His face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon the cross, my sin upon His shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held Him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer. But I know this with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but I know this with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom. Paul says, love is the fulfillment of the law, Romans 13 and verse 8. But God be thanked, says Paul in Romans 6 and verse 17, that ye once were the servants of sin, but ye have now obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Balance. Not at the expense of the teaching of the Word of God. It is right and good to stand for truth, but not without justice or mercy or faithfulness. Jesus warned about that in Matthew 23 and verses 23 and 24. Put that scripture up. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin, and you have neglected the weightier provisions of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. But these are the things you should have done without neglecting the others. You blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. You see, God is wanting us to let our lives match, balance, so that we do good things. In John chapter 1, the gospel of, after he tells us that, you know, he was in the beginning was the Word, and the Word became, eventually, verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, it says, full of grace and truth. Did you get that? Jesus doesn't make mistakes. He was full of the grace that we want to enjoy. And yes, I know we avoided preaching about what grace was really all about for a long time, I think. But at the same time, we do not want to neglect what is true. We want to respond to that. And we want to do that kindly, Ephesians 4 and verse 15, because it says, speak the truth in love. That's who we are. And these other accompanying passages are the very same things that we're saying here and emphasizing here. Because the Word of God, you see, is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. We know that it's the Word of God that brings us power. We know that it's that message that we have to find. Finding the balance. You've got to be able to know who you're dealing with. And John was clear about who would not be welcome when you read 2 John. He was clear about that. Sinners, he's not speaking about sinners who don't know the truth, or sinners who are seeking the truth, or converts who need continued teaching, or someone teaching in error who is willing to be taught, but rather he's looking. Go ahead to our next slide, please. He's looking for us to know the difference between balancing them, bringing them together. That's what we're supposed to be about. Balancing our love along with the truth. Helping others understand it that way so that they can live a life appreciating the need for balance. That's a really important concept, being able to do that. I know that that's not always easy for us to do. I know that as humans, we are going to lean on what seems to be the natural thing. But if you've lived a life in Christ for any length of time, you know that the natural is what Jesus came to improve. He wants us to think of the supernatural. He wants us to think about His example. He wants us to go against the grain and teach what may not be what we feel we want to do. He wants us to love people who are unlovable. He wants us to give truth to those who need truth. That's a balancing act. Otherwise, you might wind up like that guy on the roller rink floor. One foot in the air, a couple of them in the back. You know where they're headed. Live a balanced life. I love you. I look forward to being with you in 2 weeks from today. Pray for us if you're here today and we can help you live the balanced life. Why don't you come while Tommy leads us in our final song, our invitational song.